Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. Week has flown by. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on iHeartRadio. We are on Fox Sports Radio. We are on FS1. Interesting stories today developing. Atlanta Falcons still want to trade that number 4 pick. Something tells me it's getting close to happening. Joy Taylor, how are you, Joy?
I'm great. It's Friday. I think I'm with you. I think we're going to hear some news about that number 4 pick within the next couple days. If you guys are nice, you'll do it on Monday.
That would be great. Really appreciate it. Start of the second hour of The Herd. Be really nice. So I want to start, you know, usually I start my show with a little rant about life or something. Nobody goes to college and majors in sales. But like 20% of the country, 25% of the country is in sales. You're selling something. You didn't major in sales. There's nothing wrong with being in sales. People sell this show every day, my radio, my podcast, television. You made a lot of money in sales, but you didn't major in it. No kid drops out of the womb, man or woman, saying, I want to sell hardware, radio spots. Why do you get into it? Because you majored in something else in college. You weren't totally committed. You didn't like being poor, moving cross country, and you're a pretty good talker, and you can make good money. It's a fun life. Drive a nice car. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that. When I interview people, I always ask them, young broadcasters, young podcasters, I ask them a series of questions, and all I'm trying to figure out without asking it is, how committed are you? Are you willing to move cross-country 4 times by the time you're 36? Are you willing to be poor for several years? You're not going to see your mom, dad, or sister for 8 years. Can you do that? And if the answer is no, okay, I know you're kind of committed. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not judging you. But Tom Brady shows us what matters to him. He's been taking pay cuts for 15 years. Number one priority is winning. Patrick Mahomes, he's a kid. He hadn't even made the big money yet. He's already restructuring his contract. He's telling me how committed he is. He hasn't even made big money yet. Tom didn't even make big money. They were restructuring their deals. In fact, Brady restructures it so often, it's not even news anymore. He did it again this year. He does it every year. Interesting story. How committed are you? There's a story done by ESPN. And the reporter went out and interviewed an agent, a scout, a coach, and an executive to try to figure out how would you handle this Aaron Rodgers-Packer thing, because it's been tense forever. And the agent had a really, really interesting answer. I want to read this to you. He says, I've heard Aaron's stubborn. And who knows that they're not offering up a palatable situation that is middle ground. I'm going to assume some sort of middle ground's been attempted by the Packers. And I'm going to assume right now Aaron's not listening to it, but it's screwing the Packers in a lot of ways because now there's just no cap space. He goes on to say, the Packers called me, said the agent. And they said, listen, we'd like to do something big, but hint, we've got to get through a space. Meaning they tried to make a deal. And there's no reason for the agent to lie. It's an anonymous agent. Aaron's not his client. He's not. There's no reason for the agent to lie. This is when you go anonymous, you get more truthful answers. Joy and I can tell you that. Once you go anonymous, people tell you the truth. Once you quote them, they go soft. It's very interesting. Green Bay trying to do things, but stubborn is more important than winning. Ego more important than winning. I'm not saying Aaron doesn't want to win. But you're going to tell me how much things matter in your life by the sacrifices you're willing to make. If you're not willing to move away from your hometown for 12 years, you're not really totally committed. Joy did. I did. If you're not willing to sacrifice a little money, you're not going to be Brady. You're not going to be Mahomes back-to-back Super Bowls. It's just very interesting. What do you care about Aaron Rodgers? Jeopardy, power, money, winning, leverage? If this agent and his answer is true, winning's not just the only thing he cares about. Now, nobody thinks that Aaron doesn't want to win. That is not the question here. But it's like the question I often ask young people when I created my podcast network. I ask a series of questions. How committed are you? Well, I kind of want to live around. I grew up in this area. There's a bagel shop over there. I want to see my parents on Sunday. That is awesome. But you're not all in on being great. You want a more well-rounded life. And by the way, pro athletes have off seasons. LeBron, Brady, they have off seasons. You can have a well-rounded life. But it is interesting. This article, go read it for yourself. Agent, scout, executive, what conclusion do you come to? My conclusion is, if stubborn is getting in the way of winning, Aaron needs to see a therapist. Because 25 years from now, you're going to look awfully small with one Super Bowl, but you won the argument with the Packers. All right, I want to segue to this. This is interesting. So we're having all these pro days, and I think they're a bunch of nonsense. I don't think you get a lot out of pro days, especially with quarterbacks. I think they're stupid. But we have them, and they're big and blah, 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 blah. But I'm noticing a trend here. Let's just talk quarterbacks and pro days. All of them get kind of, you know, surgically nitpicked, but it's interesting. So Trevor Lawrence, very little criticism. Hell, we didn't even talk on this show about his pro day. I mean, it's not even a topic on a show called The Herd. We love football and college football. We barely talked about it. Mac Jones, there appears to be a love affair currently going on that I can't understand. He is zooming up the board. Zach Wilson, he's been locked into the number two spot for, what, a month? Trey Lance wowed everybody at his pro day. My scouts love him. My sources love him. You can't find a bad word about Trey Lance. People like him. The only question is he hasn't played a lot. And then there's Justin Fields. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan of the Niners didn't go to his first pro day. At another network, a former NFL quarterback questioned his work ethic. Greg Cosell, who I bring on this show all the time and doesn't really have strong opinions beyond tape, said this yesterday about Justin Fields.
I think Justin Fields has some issues. I really do. I mean, I've watched his tape and I've watched it several times. And I think there's things that concern me, but he's really a high-level talent. I think Justin Fields is a big physical athlete. He may not be as refined as you'd like right now. So now you have to coach him. And I've always been a believer that coaching is a major variable and a big factor. And where Justin Fields goes will be a big deal because he will need to be coached.
Interesting. And I noticed this. Wonder if you noticed this. Atlanta is number four with a pick. Justin Fields is from Georgia. That matters. It does matter. I mean, Joe Burrow from Ohio, Cincinnati. I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, but it matters. It's kind of cool if Troy Aikman always felt and talked and sounded like a Cowboy quarterback. It kind of matters, right? So Atlanta had the number four pick. All these rumors for 6 months, they're going to move off Matt Ryan. The minute the San Francisco 49ers appeared to be committed to Mac Jones, meaning they would get Justin Fields, the next day, we'll take calls.
What?
So Atlanta's not into him. By the way, a story this week on Carolina that needed a quarterback. That it was after the pro day of Justin Fields, they committed to Sam Darnold. I don't know what it is. I thought he had the best single game by any quarterback in college football this year when he rolled Clemson and made great decisions and unbelievably big downfield throws against Clemson. But there are red flags here. And I've always said in life, resumes matter. Remember when Drew Brees said something that ticked off his teammates? And I said, listen, I thought he was a little out of lockstep with the locker room, but he had a good resume of being a good person, charity, Louisiana. You can't bury a guy because of a bad tweet or a bad moment. What's somebody's resume? It's one of my rules. Another rule is, and I talked about this with Deshaun Watson yesterday, when the volume gets big on something, I listen. Multiple women, multiple sources. When I got Greg Cosell, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina, red flags, former quarterbacks, I don't know. It makes me wonder. I mean, I think he's the second best quarterback. But again, I'm in the information business. I make calls. I make texts. I'm trying to figure out, you know, I don't do this professionally. But it is interesting. Every other quarterback in this draft is going up in the eyes of the media, the fans, the teams, and the scouts. And all of the bad stuff is landing on one guy. Could it be that Ohio State's never had a great NFL quarterback because Ohio State is so much more talented? They may not be Alabama good, but if you took Alabama out of college football, just Alabama, Ohio State's arguably the second most talented team in college football, NFL talent. And in the Big Ten, they're so much more talented than everybody else, including Michigan and Wisconsin, that the question is, well, I mean, of course he's piling up all these wins and yards. It's easy. I mean, at least Alabama has to face Georgia and Auburn and Florida, LSU, full of NFL people. Not like Purdue's got an NFL lineup. I don't know what it is, but it is interesting to me, the nitpicking is pretty much off everybody else. I mean, I'll throw this at you. Apparently, there's a story that Mac Jones, as a freshman at Alabama, got in a little trouble. I didn't even know that. Didn't even come up. Look it up yourself. Not even brought up. And yet the work ethic of Justin Fields has been brought up. I've never heard that. But it does make me wonder, am I just wrong on this? Been wrong before, be wrong again. But all the nitpicking has landed on one guy. There you go. I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting. I still contend he's the second best talent. But again, I've said this before. I think Trevor Lawrence is the only guarantee success and whoever San Francisco drafts. Whoever San Francisco drafts, I think, will succeed. After that, all bets are off. Coin flip.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Got some interesting developments with the draft. People going after that number four spot with Atlanta. As I said earlier, I think it's really strange. The minute Atlanta looked like they could get Justin Fields, the minute, okay, Niners going Mac Jones, the minute they could get Justin Fields, yeah, we'll take calls and move the pick. There's a lot of indications that's going to happen in the next two or three days. Very interesting. So LeBron James, toxic environments, toxicity is very hard to overcome. It really is hard to overcome. I mean, Brett Favre won with the Packers. He won with the Vikings. Even he couldn't win with the Jets. Like it's Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player most think ever, couldn't win with the Wizards. Like, if the ownership's bad and the front office is a mess, you can't overcome it. And I was thinking LeBron came out kind of foreshadowing his return on Instagram. He said, the weatherman says the weather is changing soon and predicts a thunderstorm is coming. Folks, prepare and take the proper cautionary measures to stay safe. Basically saying, I'm coming back and we're winning games. And I've got to be honest with you. Does everybody realize how well it's gone for LeBron and how bad it was before he got here? He's already a defending champ. He's already resting to get ready for the playoffs, and his business is exploding in Los Angeles. By the way, that movie's in Space Jam. The trailer looks great, actually. Really, I didn't watch the first one. I may watch the second one. It looks great. The Lakers were a complete mess when LeBron arrived. The roster was full of young, immature, skinny kids. They're all gone except Kuzma. The Buss family, Jeannie and Jim, were not getting along. The front office was a mess. They couldn't even get meetings with free agents. Meetings Forget being told no. They couldn't get a meeting. The Lakers. It's like the Yankees not getting a meeting. The Lakers had the worst win percentage in the entire league in the previous 5 years before LeBron got there. And think about that. Not Sacramento, not Detroit, not the Wizards, not the Lakers did. They were in total disarray in the front office. The owners couldn't get along. The roster was awful. And today, when LeBron and AD come back, they'll be the overwhelming favorite to get to the finals. LeBron's like a sanitizing service. He just cleans up all your messes. It's like that 1-800-JUNK. You ever seen that company? You just call them. They take all your crap. The house is suddenly clean. I mean, Golden State's dynasty, done. Houston's a complete rebuild, out of the way. You're going to bet your 401k that Portland or Utah can beat them? They don't match up. Denver is interesting, acquiring Aaron Gordon, but they'll be an underdog to LeBron. The Clippers? The Clippers have never shown us any reason to believe they're going to rise to the moment and beat LeBron James. Charles Barkley said as much last night.
Charles Barkley really said the Clippers weren't contenders.
Well, let me tell you something, Manuel. I've been poor. I've been rich. I've been fat. I've been skinny. I've been old. I've been in the Hall of Fame. And one thing I can always tell you, the Clippers have always sucked.
Now, that's harsh, but they haven't given us any reason to truly believe they'll get it together and rise in the moment. But for 15 years, he dominated the Eastern Conference. And all I heard was, well, if he played out West, he not only is dominating the West, he took over the most dysfunctional royal family in sports. The owners, the front office, the roster. A couple years later, he's joking about dominating. He's got a title. Business is booming. And he's resting with AD. Resting. They can win games resting, getting ready to host some playoff series and probably vanquish whoever in the West is in their way.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have been to a hospital, I'm apparently clumsy, 3 times in 6 years in L.A. The quality of the care is unbelievable. Communication is easier. Can you imagine this? Years ago, you're in a relationship. You got kids at home. You left the house. There's no way to get a hold of your wife. If something happened at the house, you're at the house, you got to get a hold of your wife. Can't get a hold of her.
Yeah, you used to have to tell people where you were going.
Everywhere. You had to use pay phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always have to have change with you. I don't remember the last time I've seen a pay phone.
So communication's better. Healthcare's better. Everything's better in America. Now, that doesn't mean life is more complex now.
Sure.
It's more expensive now. The gap between haves and have-nots is greater now, although we've always had that gap, but it is greater now. Technology's kind of exploded the high-end earners in America.
Memories feel good, though.
Everybody wants to talk about the good old days. They weren't good. They weren't that great. I got news for you. It just wasn't that great. I'm old enough. I lived through the 70s and 80s. Everything's better now. And same in the NBA. God, if I have to hear how great it used to be. So people forget this. Here's the 1999 NBA Finals. Knicks and the Spurs. These are the scores. 89-77, 80-67, 78-77, 89-81.
It sounds like you're reading the tournament scores.
There were almost no elite shooters. People romanticized the New York Knicks teams. They didn't have a single elite shooter. They had multiple guys that you could never give an 18-footer to. Oh, the Pacers series against the Knicks. Go look up the free throw shots attempted. You could tackle people. There's a reason the NBA changed its rules. The NBA's never been more skilled. Now, I do think aesthetically, all these three-pointers can get kind of boring. Like, I wish they'd take the three-point shot in the NBA and the three-point arc, and about 6 feet from the baseline, it would go right into the bench. meaning there's no more corner threes, meaning you could defend the wing three more easily, meaning the percentages would go down, meaning it would create more mid-range shots, which I think have value. The corner three is impossible to defend. When the Warriors had Klay, Steph, and Durant, impossible. Durant's in the corner. Your bigs have to go out. You can't hand check. Steph drives by. It was just impossible to defend the Warriors. Impossible. And you should be able to defend even a great offense, have a shot to defend them. In the NFL, you can defend Kansas City. That's you don't want to have an offense that's so dominant you can't ever defend them. So Draymond, I'm leading to this. Draymond Green was lamenting some of the younger players in the NBA these days on a Michael Irvin podcast.
It's more talent around the league, I think, than it's ever
for
been.
For sure.
I mean, I think from a talent standpoint, the league is in a good space. You know what I'm saying? But as pure basketball lovers, you know what I'm saying, who love competition and like to see everybody competing at the highest level, I think they got to catch up in that department. They soft as hell. Man, I found myself this year trying to talk to some of these young dudes that won't talk. And they like trying to be a friend.
Yeah.
But that's what these young dudes do nowadays, man. I don't understand it.
Well, that's because, Draymond, you're not a highly skilled player. You're more of a troll. You're a hell of a talented troll. But highly skilled players, and the NBA has never been this skilled because it's more European, and European players come from their academy system. They're highly skilled at 13, 14, 15. I mean, Luka is a mile ahead of most American kids at 28. He's like 20, 21. So the reason guys don't talk trash, it's actually smart. It's the reason hockey players don't fight. The sport's too fast. Power plays are death. That's why you don't have, like, thugs in hockey anymore. You can't afford it. The game's too fast. If you can't skate at a fast level, you're a total liability. So this idea, guys used to talk trash, and that's because the league didn't have many skilled players, and there was a bunch of guys whose whole game was to be a troll, was to be, like, a wrestler, to be a tackler. I mean, it's like football. Sports are always better if you let the stars shine. Hockey is better when they stopped allowing grabbing and clutching, and stars could be stars. Hockey now is so fast compared to the 70s and 80s. The NFL's better now. There's more space. You can't crush a receiver, so receivers are willing to go over the middle. Receivers have more space, more freedom. Quarterbacks can't be hit. Basketball is better when you can't tackle the players. I mean, if people forget what football looked like, if you watch college football in the 70s and 80s, I'm not joking, it is insane how awful offense was. Many of the best programs, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas, used one wide receiver, had three running backs behind the quarterback. Everybody was jammed in about a 9-yard space. It's like football's better, skill's better, the breathing's better. You got more room to do stuff. You can't rip somebody's head off. So basketball, I don't love how many three-point shots there are today, but the reason people aren't talking trash, and that was Draymond Green on Kevin Durant's podcast, is you don't the league doesn't have as much room for unskilled trolls. It just there's just if you have one in a roster, that's it. That's about all you can afford. If you have two guys on the floor that can't shoot, you're not a playoff team in the NBA. You're just simply not a playoff team. I mean, Blake Griffin went from mattering to a liability to a lot of teams. He couldn't shoot in about a 4-year period.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Like a great meal that you have to savor, we did not want to rush Peter Schrager, who's been covering the NFL for over 15 years. Works at FS1, Good Morning Football. He's our trusted reporter we bring on this show all the time, and he is joining us now live from New York City. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, so let's start with this. I love mock drafts. I'm into them. About every 2 weeks, I bring a former scout on, and we did one yesterday. You only do a couple, if I recall, just two. You just released one. Why do you only do two?
All right. So I never do a mock draft before the combine in a typical year. And I always wait till after free agency because you can't determine what a team is going to do without knowing what their needs are. And then I look at my mock draft differently. There are some really good scouts and guys who grind the tape. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, is one of the best in the business. He watches the tape. He plays with a scout's mind and says, here's what I would do. I don't do that. I don't watch tape. I have no interest in watching tape. I use my phone, Colin, and I text everyone I know in the league. My first mock draft is kind of like putting it there out there in the ether and seeing what happens. The amount of texts that I get from people around the league the day after that mock draft comes out helps me formulate my thoughts, my information, and steers me ways. The amount of coaches that texted me and said, you're way off on this one, or you're wrong on that one, that wouldn't have responded until I put the first mock draft out with that information, really is telling. Here was what I did with the top 10. And Joy, I know you're getting skewered by Dolphins fans for even suggesting that Tua Tagovailoa is not going to win 5 Super Bowls and 16 MVPs. I'm getting skewered by Dolphins fans because I've got Kyle Pitts not going at 6th overall. So you say, well, why don't you? Well, tight ends don't go that high. We could talk about that. But I use the information I get from other teams and many of them saying, guy, I don't know if Pitts is even going to be there at 6. He's that highly valued. I have another team that called me and was like, you got to put Pitts higher. That's the stuff I do. I use intelligence from other teams and sources, and I trust what I got. And I usually do end up with a pretty accurate mock draft when it's all said and done. But here's top 10 from yesterday. And Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and yes, I've got Mac Jones going 3 to San Francisco, as I have since they made the trade.
So in the last 24 hours, like I thought you had Kyle Pitts a spot low. In the last 24 hours, what have you learned? The biggest thing you've learned.
Yeah, biggest thing I learned is that it is not a slam dunk that this, you know, quarterback is going to go in this order. There's a lot of feedback, and a lot of people seem to say, well, I think Lance makes more sense for San Francisco. He's a bigger long-term project, but you don't need to do that with Garoppolo. But other people say, I like Fields not only more than I like Mac Jones, but I like Fields more than Zach Wilson. It's wide open. I think the quarterbacks, we go chalk here. We're like, all right, well, the mock drafts say Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones, that's it. I don't think that's the case just yet. It's what I've got, but my feedback is telling me this thing is wide open. And the fact that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan aren't just sitting on their hands right now, but they're actually going to Ohio State to go work out Justin Fields again, tells me it's not a slam dunk that Mac Jones is that number 3 guy.
Okay, so you, and I agree with this. You have New England moving up to the number 4 spot. So one of the things I've learned through the years, and I guess any fan could figure this out, when a team wants to do business, nobody gets hurt if they just leak, we want to do business. And so when Atlanta leaks the story, and they did probably, which is, hey, we're taking calls now, they're just telling everybody, call us, we're interested. Some teams are more connected than others, so you got to make it easy for them. Hey, everybody, we'll leak a story. We want calls. So why New England moving up to 4, and why now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, Colin, I got a lot of feedback on this one, too, obviously, because New England's one of those teams people raise their eyebrows and say, wow, well, first Atlanta, you're at the 4th pick. They just restructured Matt Ryan's contract, but they didn't restructure it in a way where they're out of that contract. They're going to be paying him a lot of money for the next 3 years, whether it's salary cap money they're paying or it's dead cap money. So I don't think they're going quarterback just yet. That said, the Patriots, they never want to be this high in the draft again. The last time they were this high in the draft, I think it was Gerard Mayo in 08 who they took in the top 10. That's how long it's been. They're not used to being 15, and yet being at 15 isn't high enough to get one of these quarterbacks the way this thing is going to play out. So I've got New England who have been aggressive all offseason, saying, let's nip this in the bud. Let's get one of these guys. It might not be their first pick, Justin Fields. They might like Mac Jones more. They might like Zach Wilson more. But let's get one of these guys, and let's finally start developing one of these young quarterbacks and it being one of these elite prospects. They don't plan on ever being in the top 10. They don't plan on ever being in the top 15 again. They wouldn't have spent all this money in free agency. They're aggressive right now, and I think the aggressor gets rewarded with big plays when they actually have to go out and get it. I don't think this is the same Belichick of years prior where it's let's just sit around and wait and get these guys and rely on compensatory picks in the 3rd round. No, I think Bill could be very aggressive this time, and I think if he likes Fields, which I'm not sure, I could tell you on the record, I don't know his thoughts on Justin Fields, but if he likes him, this is the year they're going to open and get him. They're not going to have that 15th pick too often.
You know, I was talking to Joy about the Sam Darnold thing before you came on. I'm sure you were listening to it as we were going to bring you on. Is that the college quarterback draft, my scouts are all saying the same thing. It's bad next year. This year's great.
It's bad.
Yeah. If Trey Lance is your 4th best prospect this year, I mean, the Niners may like Mac Jones. He could be your 5th. That's a good quarterback draft. Next year's not good. It's injured guys. It's hot and cold guys. There's no huge arms in it. And I said to myself, when Carolina got Darnold, what they were telling you was, we don't know if it's going to work. But the environment's better here. You don't have to pay Sam a fortune. And what we don't want to do is get trapped next year. So take me through a little bit, because you are so connected to the Jets. The Jets, the Darnold, Carolina, how it played out, and maybe Carolina's thinking.
Carolina made no secret about it. They were very interested in Matt Stafford. I think they were very interested in Deshaun Watson before that thing went haywire. And I think they knew that with the 8th overall pick in this year's draft, there's a chance they get left out of the dance and that there's 4 teams or maybe even 5 that get quarterbacks before them. So when this thing came to, the compensation was discussed. They basically told the Jets, this is what we're willing to give up. We would love Sam Darnold. But let me tell you something. It's not like Carolina saying we're trading for Sam Darnold and he's the quarterback of the future and here's a $100 million extension. It was a low-risk investment for them. They did not give up an 8th overall pick. They did not give up their second-round pick. They gave up next year's second-round pick, which is a great unknown. And they're only paying him $11 million per year over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
If they, I mean, this is a no-brainer for Carolina. But it also doesn't mean they won't take a quarterback at 8. And that might cause mass hysteria on draft day. But if Trey Lance is a guy they like, or Justin Fields is a guy they like, and for whatever reason those guys start slipping, you're right, Colin. The next year's quarterback class, and who knows? I mean, Zach Wilson came out of nowhere this year. We could have one of those deals this coming draft class too, and there might be that guy. But you don't want to be drafting in the top 3 or 4 to have to get a quarterback. So it was almost security for Carolina to just go and get Darnold. They know he can play. They know that he's got an upside, and they know that they can at least audition him for a year before giving him the huge extension. But the truth of the matter is, Colin, I don't think this is a slam dunk that they're saying Sam Darnold's our quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback for now. He's quarterback for now until the next 3 weeks, unless a quarterback falls to them at 8 that they really love.
All right, let's look at Peter Schrager's mock draft again, which has been accurate through the years. He's got quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Atlanta moving out. It all makes sense to me. Like the Penei Sewell move makes a ton of sense to me because the weakness for Carolina is left tackle and corner. So sometimes you get very lucky in the draft. Well, what you need just happens to be available. By the way, and I agree with Atlanta on this. What Atlanta needs is really not available at 4. They need Micah Parsons. They need defensive players. They're a mess. So, yeah. Now, by the way, you have New England going up to 4.
Yep.
Couple minutes left. If New England doesn't go up, do your sources tell you there's another team to keep your eye on for 4?
I think Denver's a possibility to move up. They're at 9 right now. As you see, I've got them getting Trey Lance, who slips to them, but who knows? Maybe they like someone there. They can move up there. I would always keep an eye on Chicago, who took a major swing at Russell Wilson and did not land him and could still be in the market if there's someone willing to trade up or trade back with them. I would look at New England. And then I would look for the teams that might not want a quarterback at 4, but might want Kyle Pitts at 4, which sounds crazy. We have never had a tight end in the last 60 years of the NFL be drafted in the top 5. But the way people are talking about this guy is if he's some sort of unicorn, unlike anything we've ever seen. 6'6", out of Florida, has all the talent in the world. You know, I never value the tight end position in the draft, and I think it's because if these guys are free agents, they don't make nearly the same money as offensive tackle and defensive end and quarterback, so why would I draft one so high? But the way that the NFL responded to this mock draft with text to my phone saying, how could you have Pitts slip to 7? It is as if this Kyle Pitts is already Tony Gonzalez or Shannon Sharp. It is hype that I have never seen before from a tight end coming out of college. And yet, if a team falls in love that much, he might be the guy someone trades up to Atlanta to go grab.
By the way, I said this yesterday. Dallas Cowboys have 10 picks. Would Dallas give up a pick or two, get Pitts, which, by the way, would make McCarthy and Dak better. It'd validate Dak's contract, that's for sure. And then they could use another 7 picks on their defense. I talked to somebody yesterday, texted him, and I said, he said, if Jerry loves somebody, it is being discussed now in their boardrooms about moving up to get Pitts.
Dallas was set on a guy named Kalavon Chaisson at LSU, a defensive end last year. I had it from good sources. They were set. The day of the draft, CeeDee Lamb starts slipping, and it was within 2 minutes he said, we got to take CeeDee Lamb. They didn't go through the depth charts. They didn't ask questions. CeeDee Lamb was the guy. If Jerry wants someone, you have to restrain them really hard, especially on offense, to not take them. So if Kyle Pitts were to slip or if they thought they could trade up, nothing's off the table with Jerry Jones.
Peter Schrager. We just savored that meal with Peter Schrager.
Awesome. Love that meal.
Hey, go have a nice weekend with your fam.
You're the best, Colin. Thanks. Enjoy yours. Great as well.
Thank you.